te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we continue reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 19, entitled The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. Now we are in text number 34. We should wait. Okay. Kramatogam paladaikena dvitijena divam vivo kamchakayena mahata tartiyasya kutogati kramatogam padaikena dvitijena divam vivo Kancha kayena mahata tartiyasya kutogati. Kindly recite. Kamagam brahmayena Togam padai kena mahata yasya kuto yakti krama togam padai kena tiena nibambibo Kanchakayena mahata tartiyasya kutogati kamatogam padaikena tiyena divam vibho kamchakayena mahata tartiyasya kutogati Tayesya kudogati Kamchakayena vahata Tartiyasya kudogati Mata, yes, please. Kamato gambaraikena Vachiyena divambivo Kanchakayena mahata Tartiyasya kutogati Vachiyena divambivo
Panchakaye namata Tarpiyasasya kutogati Tiyena divam vibho Kamchakayena mahata Artiyasya kutogati Kramatagam padaikena Tiyena divam vibho Kamchakayena mahata Tarteyasya kutogati kramata gradually gam the surface of the land pada ekena by one step dvitiyena by the second step divam the whole of outer space, vivo of the universal form, kamcha, the sky also, kayena, by the expansion of his transcendental body, mahata, by the universal form, tartiyasya, as far as the third step is concerned, kutaha, where is gati, to keep his step. Translation of Prabhupada Divine Grace Siva Aktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Vamanadev will first occupy the three worlds with one step, then he will take his second step and occupy everything in outer space. And then he will expand his universal body to occupy everything. Where will you offer him the third step? Purport. Sukracharya wanted to tell Bali Maharaj how he will be cheated by Lord Vamana. Quote, "You have promised three steps," unquote, he said, quote, "but with only two steps, all your possessions will be finished. How then will you give him a place for the third step?" Unquote. Sukracharya didn't know how the Lord protects his devotee. The devotee must risk everything in his possession for the service of the Lord, but he is always protected and never defeated. By materialistic calculation, Sukracharya thought that Bali Maharaj will, under no circumstances, will be able to keep his promise to the Brahmachari, Lord Vamanadev. Om Agyana Timirandasya Ginanginan Shalakaya Chaksurum militam yena tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Vodale Srimate Viravahu Prabhuriti Namine Shishi Vrindata Vira Padapankaya Dhenya Prabhupada Nama Sirvahe Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Vodale Srimate Vakti Vedanta Swamita Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauri Prana Pacharin Vishesa Pachyate Visatarine. Thank you so much for everyone for being in class Srimad Bhagavatam. That is nectar for the ears. So here, Sukracharya is trying to convince Bali Maharaj to not give anything to Lord Vamanadev. Sukracharya actually not always was a smart Brahmana. He at the beginning actually was a good guy. He is from the descendant of the Bhrigu dynasty. And it describes in the Matsya Purana there were two reasons why he took side and became the guru of the demons. It described there that one time he went to study under the care of Brihaspati. But Brihaspati has a son, his name was Kacha. And Brihaspati has a preference for his son. and he was literally neglecting Sukracharya. Sukracharya felt very offended, and then he became so upset and he went away. And that was one reason. And he developed some animosity against Brihaspati. And the second reason was that one time he went to for meditation, a long time meditation from some mountain. And in the meantime, what happened, it was a war between the demons and the demigods. It's always war between them. I don't know which one it was. But what happened is the demons was being defeated by the demigods. And they ran away. And there was ashram where Sukracharya used to live with his mother. So his mother was alone in this place. So the demigods took shelter in his mother. And they asked for protection. So Sukracharya's mother said, "Yes, I will protect you." Then the demigods came, searching for these demons, trying to finish it off. I don't know why, but I guess they were so angry with them. But Sukracharya's mother was actually an ordinary lady. He had some great mystic powers. So by her power, he stopped the demigods. And they couldn't do anything. So the demigods, as usually happens, they went to ask for help from Vishnu. So Vishnu came and talked to the Mataji and asked her, "Please, you have to surrender these demons." And he said, "No, I won't do it." Actually, he said, "I will finish this off." So he was trying to, she was trying to kill Vishnu and Indra and all demigods. And Vishnu immediately called for his Sudarshana chakra and killed her. When Sukracharya came back, he found out what happened and became so upset, became so angry with Vishnu. This is the crime of the Matsya Purana. It's not my story. So, for these two reasons, when Brihaspati became the guru of the devas, he, in revenge, we'll say, and for his anger with Vishnu also, he took the size of the demons. He became the guru. That's why now he is here in this position. So in the purport, Prabhupada also is talking about the protection of devotees. He's talking about how Krishna protects. In one class, Bhakti Charo Swami, he was explaining how Krishna also protects everyone, actually, not just the devotees. He was giving the example of the spinning of the earth. The speed, he was so tremendous, is calculated by 1,070 kilometers per hour. So fast, it's amazing, and we cannot even feel it. So we're sitting here, you know, I am sitting here very nice, comfortable with this cushion, and you are sitting on the floor, not very nicely, but that was not my arrangement, believe me, it's Ashita Prabhu's fault. So he said that why things don't fly out, tremendous speed, spinning circular way. But we don't fly out. Things doesn't fly out. But this is Krishna's protection, he said. He, at the same time, he created gravity which keeps us in place. But also at the same time, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Mrityu sarva harashchasam." Say, "I am death. Who take away everything, who destroy everything." Sarva Hara. Hara is the same as Hari, who takes everything. Mityu Sarva Hara Chaham. He also says in the 11th chapter Kaloesmi loka kshayakrit pravido. That I am time, he said. Time I am the destroyer of the whole worlds. He said, I came here to kill everyone except you, the Pandavas, he said. So it is apparently a contradiction how the Lord protects and at the same time he is the cause of the destruction, suffering. This dilemma is a big topic actually for the whole humanity at large. Why bad thing happens to good people? There is a famous saying. And therefore in theology, they created another branch called theodicy, and it would deal with this problem of evil. And why there is evil? There was one philosopher, his name was Epicurus. He wrote one famous quote. It's called the Epicurean paradox. The atheists, they like it very much. Because in this quotation, Epicurus put Krishna in a very difficult position. He said, if God is willing to prevent evil, but he is not able, that means he is not all-powerful. And then he said, but he is able to prevent evil, but is not willing, he is not all-merciful. So if he is willing and he is able, then where does evil come from? And then he said, but he's not willing, he's not and not able, why he calling God? So this was this, everybody was pondering this paradox. And they said, he's right. All the atheists are right. Well, most of the atheists, of course, they don't believe in the existence of God. But those who believe, they say, okay, yes, God exists, but he's not powerful, he's evil. There was one rabbi from Massachusetts. He was a very faithful person, very religious, very dedicated to God. He was everybody preaching about the love of God and everything. But one time he had a son. And his son developed a very terrible disease. And he died at a very young age. So this rabbi, his name was Harold Kusher. Pardon me? Rabbi. It's a rabbi. I don't know, is it Jew things? Rabbi? Yeah. Okay, right. Thank you so much. So he was bewildered. How come it's possible? I dedicate my life to God, serving God, helping other people to have faith in God. And now here I am, suffering with the loss of my son. I said, what did I do? And about my son, he says, just innocent boy. What did you do? So he wants to keep his faith. And then he wrote one famous book. It's called When Bad Thing Happens to a Good People. In his book, he came to the conclusion that, yes, there is God, there is loving God, but he has some limitations. He cannot actually give full protection. So there is suffering on one side, and the other side is the all-merciful God. So how these things can be compatible, this contradiction? Many religious groups, they give the point of view, or they're trying to explain this paradox. Some say that, for example, there is one person in Islam, he was saying that, yes, there is evil, but this evil is due to or trying to be independent from God. There is another group called the Mormons. They say, no, suffering, yes, it comes from God, but is to help us in the growing of the soul, we're saying, something like that. And there is Hinduism, he says this is karma. So this is many trying to explain the compatibility between the or merciful, or loving, or powerful God with the suffering in the world. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, we understand this, practically these trees are compatible with God. That actually the suffering is actually part of his plan. Evil is part of his plan. One time, when Prabhupada was traveling from Philadelphia to Berkeley, the captain of the airline, he called Prabhupada to the cabin. And this day is not possible because after 9/11, I think there's no such a thing. But at that time, Prabhupada came and the captain began to ask him some questions about, and the first one was, what if there is evil? See, God is all good, what is evil? And Prabhupada gave the example of the chest and the back. He was saying, for Krishna, for God, there is no evil, he said. Everything is good. But evil comes from his back, he said. And the other example he gave to him, because he was not completely convinced about this explanation, he said, it's like the sun. In the sun, there is no shadow, he said. Shadow appears when it's blocking the rays of the sun. There is some object blocking it. So shadow is when you turn your back, he said, from the sun, there is shadow. But your face to the sun, he said, there is no shadow. So evil comes when the living entity turns his back from the Supreme Lord. That was his explanation. So here, how can we understand that Krishna always protects? If there is on one side there is suffering, also death. For example, in the Mahabharata, especially devotees, sometimes when tragic things happen to devotee, they pondering why. There is one question one devotee was asking, if Krishna, he said, protect Prahlad Maharaj in many ways. We know the story how Krishna protects so much Prahlad Maharaj. And he said, why he doesn't protect his devotees now? Many things happen. Devotees get killed, they die in accidents, and such a thing. And the answer was that actually the protection of Krishna is not limited only to the physical, not to the just only to the body, but it's complete protection, see, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Ultimately, the ultimate protection of Krishna is spiritually. There are some examples in the Mahabharata and also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit, for example, he was protected when Ashwatthama threw his Brahmastra to kill him. And Uttara came running to Krishna. He said, Pahi, Pahi, Mahayogin, he said, Deva, Deva. Jagat Guru, Deva Deva. I think I forgot. Deva Deva Jagatpate. Deva Deva Jagatpate. Nanyan, he said, Nanyan Twad Avajan Pashe. Yatramrityu Parasparan. She said, my Lord, he said, you are the Lord of the Lord, you are the Lord of the universe. He said, you are the great mystic, he said. Now, he said, please protect me. There is no other one than you who can protect me from this clutches of death in this world of duality. So Krishna, of course, Krishna entered in the womb of Uttara and protect Maharaj Parikshit. But what happened when he was beaten by Takshaka's name? Apparently he didn't protect him. Takshaka was a very powerful snake, or is, I don't know, still 16, but he usually stay in the heavenly planets with Indra. Indra is his body. They are friends for some reason. And when Sringi, was Sringi who cursed Maharaj Pariki? Sringi. He cursed Maharaj Pariki. Takshaka was, for divine intervention, I guess, appointed to, because he has the most powerful poison, to fulfill this curse to kill Maharaj Pariki. So he came down from heavenly planets, and he, by his mixed power, he turned into merchant human body, and he was walking all the way to kill Maharaj Pariki. And in the way, he was somebody else walking that the same direction. He was a brahmana. His name was Kashyapa Muni. But according to Mahabharata, this Kashyapa brahmana is not the same the Kashyapa described in the Bhagavatam, the Prayapati, the husband Aditi and Aditi. It's a different Kashyapa. Because this Kashyapa mean, this Kashyapa brahmana, what he wanted to get some remuneration for saving the Maharaj Pariki, when he heard that he was cursed by being killed by the serpent, Takshaka, he said, this is my opportunity, I get some money, and I'm going to save Maharaj Pariki's life. So the merchant, Takshaka, in the form of the merchant, he talked to him and said, where are you going? Oh, he said, I'm going to say Maharaj Pariki, I have some powerful mantra that can counteract the poison on this snake. Then the merchant revealed his identity. I am Takshaka, he said. But I don't believe you can do that because my venom is so powerful, nobody can counteract it. He said, okay, he said, I challenge you. And there was a big, sometimes they say banyan tree or something, it's a palm tree. And then Takshaka bit the tree. And by his power of the venom, it's turned into ashes. Set on fire, turned into ashes. They say, now it's your turn. So the brahmanas start to say these mantras. And immediately the ashes start to grow again in the tree. And Takshaka was shocked. He said, okay, let's make some deal. He said, I give you the money, whatever you want. I give you a gold, and you just go away. And the brahman said, fine. So it's apparently, I mean, obviously it was destiny that happened. And then the inevitable happened. Takshaka came. After he, Sukadev finished speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Pariksit asked permission to withdraw his senses and fix his mind in Lord Vishnu and the position of yogi posture in samadhi. Actually, in the Bhagavatam, he said that he left his body before Takshaka was. He left the body before because he was in samadhi. In other words, he didn't feel any pain or anything. And then this is one explanation of how the Lord protect. He took him back to Godhead. This is the ultimate protection. And also in the Mahabharata, we describe the Arjuna, or best character, Arjuna, the best friend of Krishna. How Krishna protected him in the water Kurukshetra. At least there were four instances where Krishna personally protected him by being killed by his enemies. I remember just two or three. The first one was, the most famous one. Actually, in the Mahabharata, it's entitled Lord Krishna Protects His Devotee. That's the title of this in the Mahabharata. When Duryodhana was criticizing Bhishma because he was not fighting with his all power, he said, because you have affection for the Pandavas, he said, you don't fight according to your strength. Excuse me. And Bhishma said, oh yeah, okay, let's see, he said. And he took five arrows and imbued the arrow with powerful mantra. He said, with these five arrows, I will kill the five Pandavas tomorrow. And Duryodhana said, okay, fine. He said, I will keep these arrows, he said, to make sure I give it them tomorrow. So Krishna, being all pervasive, he knew it. So he talked to Arjuna, and he said, you know, Duryodhana is keeping five arrows. These arrows will kill you tomorrow. It's been used by Bhishma. He said, go now And when Duryodhana asked, what can I do for you? What can I give you? He said, ask him for the 5 arrows. So he went, visited Duryodhana, and Duryodhana said, oh, welcome Arjuna, nice to see you. What can I do for you? Ask me everything. I give you whatever you want. You want to win the war? I give you. He said, no, no. He said, just I want those 5 arrows. And Duryodhana was shocked. He said, what the hell? How he knows this? And then he said, fine. He gave it to him. The Kshatriyas, they keep his word. The next day, when they were fighting, Bhishma was saying, okay, Duryodhana, he said, give me the 5 arrows. And Duryodhana said, I'm sorry. Arjuna came yesterday. He asked me for the 5 arrows. So immediately Bhishma knew that this was Krishna's intervention. And he said, I won't be able to kill them, but at least I will kill Arjuna. He said, if Krishna don't do anything for protecting, I will kill. Because Krishna, before the war, he promised not to fight. He promised not to use any weapons. So Bhishma decides to break the promises of Krishna by trying to kill Arjuna. So he fought with all his strength, all his ability, millions of arrows through Arjuna. And even Krishna was bewildered. At some point, Krishna has to intervene because Arjuna was definitely going to be killed by Bhishma. And he jumped from the chariot, he grabbed some broken wheel from another chariot, and he rushed against Bhishma to kill him. Because Bhishma just dropped his weapon, he said, it's fine, he saw my lord is coming to kill me. And Arjuna jumped from the chariot and grabbed Krishna. And Krishna was running, one garment flew away. Prabhupada described this scene very nicely. And Arjuna was holding Krishna, and Krishna was dragging him. At that moment, the sun came down because the agreement was that as soon as the sun comes down, they will stop fighting. So that's one instance when he. The other one was when Jayadratha, and also was another one, Bigadatta. I think it's Bigadatta. Bigadatta was the son of Bhaumasura and the Mother Earth. No, Mother Earth is the mother of Bhaumasura. So one time, Mother Earth went to Vishnu and asked for some weapon. It's called Vaishnava weapon. It's like kind of spear or missile or something. And he gave it to her, and she gave it to Bhaumasura, this Vaishnava weapon. And Bhaumasura gave it to his son, Bigadatta. So during the war Kurukshetra, Arjuna was fighting with Bigadatta. And Bigadatta took this Vaishnava weapon and threw it to Arjuna. Krishna stood in front of Arjuna, and the weapon hit his chest. And at that moment, the weapon turned into beautiful garland of flowers, celestial flowers. And Arjuna was kind of bewildered. He said, Krishna, what did you do that? He said, I am here. He said, I am with all my senses and working in good condition. I am with all my weapons and I can fight. He said, you shouldn't intervene. Besides, you promised to intervene. And Krishna said, my dear Arjuna, he said, actually, he said, nobody can survive this weapon because it's mine. He said, I gave it to Mother Earth. He said, if this weapon hit you, you will be dead. So Arjuna understood, and that was the second one. The third one was when he was fighting with Karna. Okay, it's getting late. Karna, anyway, resuming this, Karna was going to. He took a special arrow from his quiver. What happened is in the Kandava forest, Agni wants to eat the whole herbs from there. It was burning, and you know, Indra's trying to stop him, and Arjuna makes with his arrows his some kind of umbrella, and then Agni burned all this Kandava forest. But there was a snake, Kataksha. I am the snake Kataksha. I not the Takshaka one. So Taksha has a wife and his son. His son it was Ashwasena. So they're trying to flee from the fire. So Arjuna killed Takshaka's wife, but he couldn't kill Ashwasena, the other snake. So Ashwasena wanted to take revenge from Arjuna. So in the war, when he was fighting against Karna, Ashwasena, the snake, Ashwasena jumped into the quiver of Karna and took the shape of the arrow. So that arrow was shoot. It was definitely killing Arjuna. And Krishna, he was aiming to his neck. Krishna just stand up and push the chariot to the ground. And then the arrow just hit his crown. So in that way he saved him. And then, of course, later Arjuna killed Karna. So this is the protection. Krishna gives the protection to the body. That's an example of how Krishna protection to the body. But in the same Mahabharata, explains how Abhimanyu, he was brutally killed by six generals. So we wonder why he was just a boy, 16 years old. Why Krishna didn't protect him? There's a story behind that also. Abhimanyu actually was what they saw on the sun moon. His name was Bachar. And when Krishna descended to the material world, also the demigods took birth in the Yadu dynasty and all this. So Soma didn't want to send his son to the material world. He said, I want to keep my son. And all the demigods pursued him. He said, no, send him. Okay, he said, with two conditions. One, he come back in 16 years. And the second, he said, he has to take birth of that son, Arjuna and Subhadra. He said, that's fine. And that's why he was killed when he was 16 years old. So everything is arranged by the divine plans of Krishna. Even though he didn't properly, we don't see with the mundane vision that Krishna can protect our bodies. But definitely, Krishna protect the emotions, or devotional service, and spiritual life. And therefore, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it describes the third item is Rakshasiti Vishwasho, right? Anakulina Sankalpa Pratikulina Varjanan Rakshasiti Vishwasho Koptitre Varanantata Atmanichekpa Karpanie Sadbida Saranagati. He said this is a Rakshasiti Vishwasho. He said we have to have firm faith that the Lord will protect. May not protect the body, but He definitely will protect our spiritual life. That is promised. That is promised. And Krishna keep His promise to protect His devotees. There are more pure things I want to say, but I think I ran out of time. Sorry about the holdings for so long. So I stop here. Thank you so much. If there's any questions, thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
I like stories. Incredible stories. I just read about Daksha. In that tree, there was one Brahmana. In the tree there was one Brahmana. That Brahmana survived after the four Vastas. And then this Brahmana he was to tell the Vastas in Purana. Anyway, because I come with Maharaj Krishna.
Well, pero el Bhagavatam lo mordió y se arrojó ella.
En otros Puranas explica de que construyeron un fuerte.
Esa es la historia, esa historia la leí también.
Sorry, man.
Sorry, what? Thank you.